Jesus is here, and the Spirit of God is here, so we're in a good place. I actually didn't realize how warm it was today. I've got a long sleeve shirt on, and also necessary, I woke up this morning and I thought it might be cool, and the lady who irons our clothes has been away for 2 weeks, so all the ironing's, you know, obviously up to me. So at the crack of dawn this morning, I chose my Sunday best and I tried to iron it, but I could have just worn a t-shirt, man. It's actually turned out to be a lovely, lovely day. But also, it's a very special day for another reason, and that is that my mom celebrates her birthday. You know, we never give ladies ages away, but somewhere around the region of sort of between 71 and 74, that sort of bracket. But my mom's an absolute blessing. She's not a very outspoken, loud person. It's like Jacqueline Hyde. My dad, you hear and you see often. In fact, my dad's the most encouraging person a worship leader or a pastor could ever wish to meet. He gives you mighty encouragement. My mom is different, but she's encouraging and beautiful and special in her own unique way. And as children, she's loved us and helped us in so many ways over the course of our lives. And so, Mom, today, happy 73rd birthday to you. I thought I'd just slip that in there. Guys, Facebook tells you anyway, so it's all over Facebook. It says, Rimmerell, 73 years old. You know, every now and again, God lays a very powerful word on my heart, and a word that needs to be shared immediately. It can't really wait. And that's been the case this week. So our series, which we've called Faith Works, and I'd like us to turn in our Bibles, if you have them with you, please, to Isaiah chapter 41. And I'd like to share a few thoughts from God's word with you, and then I'd like us to pray for those who this morning find themselves struggling with fear and anxiety. For many people, this may be a verse that's underlined in your Bible. It may be one of your favorite verses of all time. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. And this is what it says. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. Or your version might say, do not anxiously look around you. For I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now if that verse doesn't encourage you this morning, nothing will. Father, thank you for this incredibly powerful passage of Scripture. Lord, this is a verse and this is a text that has been used over many, many years to bring hope and life and peace to generations and generations. And Lord, today is our day to sit under the teaching of this beautiful text. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you'll give me the words to speak, words that flow from your heart. Give me the thoughts to think, and may this half an hour be life-changing for many who are struggling with fear and anxiety. In Jesus' great name, amen. Well, verse 10 begins with those two commandments, those two instructions. They're very clear. Do not fear. Second one, do not be dismayed, or as some translations put it, do not anxiously look around you. So God's very clear. He's very clear right up front. He doesn't desire for us to live lives characterized by fear and by anxiety. Feelings and emotions which are very common in these troubled times, especially in a South African context. I think the past month or so, I don't know how you found it, but it's been a very troubling and a very unsettling and a very difficult month on many levels for us as a country. And just to show you two examples of what I'm talking about, on the left we have a young lady from Hudson Park Primary School who was now studying in Cape Town, 19 years old, brutally murdered by simply visiting the post office. Somebody meant to brutally murdered her, and before murdering her, raped her. On the right we have a farmer, a cattle farmer from Kolega, who, if you read the Daily Dispatch yesterday, was brutally murdered on his farm just down the road. And so, I don't know about you, but these kind of situations and things like this deeply trouble my heart, given the context in which we find ourselves living at this stage in South Africa. And I think all of us want to be positive. We want to be people of faith. We want to make a difference. But sometimes one look at the newspaper or one look at social media, or you turn on the news, be it national or international news, and it's the surge of anxiety and fear that grips your heart. It's almost like the more you know, the worse you feel. The more you read, the worse you feel. And just the news bulletins, the newspapers add to your levels of stress and anxiety. And I don't know about you, but those increased levels of stress and anxiety and fear can manifest themselves in all kinds of different ways. Physical and behavioral symptoms. And I've been there. Even over the past couple of years, I've suffered from various health situations, no doubt because of stress and anxiety and things along those lines. And I'm sure that's the case for you as well. But what I love about the Bible gives us these commandments, but it also gives us reasons for the commandments. And God also promises to give us the strength to obey the commandments. And best of all, He gives us the power of His Holy Spirit. So when God says to you this morning, do not fear. When God says to you this morning, when you look around you, locally, nationally, and globally, and you feel the surge of anxiety and fear, and God says, do not be afraid. Those are not flimsy, empty words. They are based on something solid. In other words, there's an underlying foundation to those words. And in this particular verse, there are five foundational promises which undergird the words, do not be afraid. God doesn't throw out the command and says, do not be afraid. He says, here are five key reasons why you can live a life free from fear and from anxiety. And these are the five reasons. I'm sure you noticed them in the verse that I read to you. Number one, I am with you. How does that make a difference? Just that one. God is with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. All five of those promises, verse 10 of Isaiah chapter 41. Do not be afraid. Do not anxiously look around you. Why? Because I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you. Now, I would encourage you to personalize that verse. In other words, own it, make it yours. God is with me. He is with everyone else I know, but He's also with me. He knows my context, He knows my heart, He knows my family, He knows my circumstances. Make that verse yours. God is with me. God is my God. Yes, He's a global, international God, but this morning I'm applying it to me. He's mine. He's my God. God will strengthen me. God will help me. God will uphold me. What incredible promises undergirding the command, do not be afraid. Friends, so all of us are facing challenges on many levels. I know because I pastor this church. I know what's going on behind the scenes. I know there are many who would love to be here this morning. I know where they usually sit. But they can't be here this morning because they're battling potentially terminal cancer. Riddled with disease. They're facing medical challenges. There are some who are facing relational challenges. Within the context of marriage, within the context of raising children, your heart is struggling this morning. There are some, believe it or not, in our church who are battling to provide just basic bread for the table in the evening. They've got school fees to pay. They've got children to raise. I'm telling you right now, there are people in this building who haven't got money to buy a loaf of bread. Financial struggles. The others you are battling emotionally with depression and things along those lines. bereavement challenges. Friends, we deal with challenges on multiple levels each and every day. And my question is, how would it change your life if just every single day you could appropriate those five promises? Before you read the newspaper, before you turned on the television, before you looked at Facebook, all you did was you reminded yourself of those five things. Lord, as I launch this new day, I don't know what's going to happen. Nothing is certain, but these five things I know. God is with me. God is my God. God will strengthen me. God will help me. God will. Surely those five things should give you an injection of hope and faith to launch the day. You know, often I think of life as two train tracks. And you can imagine two train tracks running parallel to each other. One train track represents the good in life. One train track represents the bad in life. And both those train tracks are running parallel one to the other. Now, the pessimist only sees the bad train track. For him or her, all is bad, all is negative, all is doom and gloom. And you know some people like that. There's nothing good. There's nothing positive. All they see is the bad. On the other hand, you've got the eternal optimist. And it's almost like he or she's living in a different world to you, reading a different newspaper, watching a different news bulletin, because all they see is good, and there's optimism, and they never see the bad. But I think from a Christian perspective, we need to find the balance. We recognize that in life, the good and the bad often run concurrently to each other. We'd be fools to ignore the bad. It's happening all around us. But also, we'd be unwise to ignore the good. So, and we see the bad, but we choose to invest most of our time and most of our energy on the good. What a way to live your life. And I can do that because of those five promises. God is with me. God is my God. God will strengthen me, will help me, will uphold me. Even though those two railway tracks are running parallel every single day of my life, I will choose, I will make a decision to focus on those five promises. Now, I want us to backtrack a little bit and look at the verses leading up to verse 10. Because verse 10 is a powerful verse. But it also forms part of a context. And let me tell you, the verses before provide the fuel for the fire. In other words, why can we be so confident in those five things? Well, Isaiah gives us four reasons. Number one is found in verse 1, and that is that God is the Lord and Judge of the nations. He is the Lord and Judge of the nations. Verse 1 says, and this is God speaking, "Be silent before me, you islands. Let the nations renew their strength. Let them come forward and speak. Let us meet together at the place of judgment." My friends, the nations of the world, no matter how powerful they appear to be, do not judge God. God judges them. They will give an account in his courtroom. And I did some research over this last week as to how many kingdoms and empires have existed over the years. And I lost count at 120. The list went on and on and on. The Roman Empire, the Ottoman Empire, the British Empire. And so you go on. 120 empires and kingdoms have existed throughout human history. Most of them have come and gone. The kingdom of God remains. Why? Because he is the Lord and Judge of the nations. Kingdoms rise, kingdoms fall, but the kingdom of God remains. And he's the king who makes those five promises to you. Number two. Oh, this is a good one. God is the ruler of the rulers of the nations. Did you hear that? He's the ruler of the rulers. Verse 2. "Who has stirred up one from the east, calling him in righteousness to his servants?" You know who he's speaking about there? He's speaking about a powerful Persian king called Cyrus If you know your history, you'll have heard of Cyrus. And God even used this powerful Persian king to it. It's an incredible thing if you read on in Isaiah. And he goes on to say, who in righteousness called him to his feet, who gave the nations before him and made him rule over the kings. Man, I love that. King Cyrus, on a human level, was supremely powerful. He was the ruler of the Persian Empire. But who was the one who called Cyrus? God. Who was the one who used Cyrus to accomplish his purposes? God. So Cyrus may have been powerful, but God is omnipotent. God is all-powerful. And God can use even the wicked rulers of this world. Even those who don't love and follow him. God can use those rulers to accomplish his eternal purposes. Why? Because God is the ruler of the rulers. God is not just a king. He is the king of the kings. Jesus Christ is not just a Lord. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Lords. There's no one above Jesus. He's the judge of the nations. And number two, he's the ruler of the rulers of the nations. That's the God who makes those five promises to you. Are you feeling faith starting to rise this morning? What about number three? It just gets better. I love being a preacher. This book is so full of good news, man. You don't know where to start. Number three, he is the creator of the nations. Verse 4, who has done this and carried it through, calling forth the generations from the beginning? Ah, the Lord, with the first of them and with the last, I am he. Revelation 22:13. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Revelation 1:8. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who was and is to come, the Almighty. Before the nations of the world existed, any nation you can possibly think of, before the nations existed, God existed. He is from everlasting to everlasting. And Genesis says, all that exists, God spoke into being through the power of his word. Let there be, and there was. He's the judge of the nations. He's the ruler of the rulers of the nations. He's the one who created the nations. And he's the one who makes those five promises to you. And how about number four? Get your seatbelts on for this one. This will send somebody through the ceiling. He is the God who has chosen you. Oh my goodness. He's the God who has chosen you. Verse 8. And you can fit your name into this verse. But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from the farthest corners I have called you and said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not rejected you. My friend, it's one thing to be chosen by man. It's another thing altogether to be chosen by God. God has chosen you. God knows you by name. Your very name is engraved on the palm of his hand. Nothing about your life is hidden from God. He has chosen you, and guess what? He will never unchoose you. Change his mind. God loved you yesterday. He loves you today. He will love you forever. You're absolutely secure in the complete and unconditional love of God. Doesn't it do something for you? I've been chosen by God Almighty, and nobody can pluck me from his hand. I belong to him. Whoa. Let's put it all together. The God who judges the nations. The God who is the ruler of the rulers of the nations. The God who is the creator of the nations. The God who has chosen you, set his love and affection on you. This is the God who makes those five promises to you. I'm with you. I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. My friends, therefore, we go back to the beginning of the verse. Therefore, do not fear. Do not anxiously look around you. It's not some fickle command that's into the atmosphere. God says those two things are possible because of those five promises. Some of you this morning need to lift up your eyes. You've become too consumed by the bad news. You've become too consumed by the circumstances. And you've forgotten the five promises. Lift up your eyes this morning. Remember that God is with you. He is your God. He will strengthen you. He will help you. He will uphold you. Let me end off with this personal invitation. Yeah, God sends out an invitation to you, to all of us this morning. It goes like this. Come to me. Come to me, Jesus says, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. How many of you need rest this morning? Rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden. I want us to respond to the invitation this morning. I want us to stand to our feet, please. And I've got two beautiful scriptures. I want to pray over our lives this morning. If you're someone who, like I have over periods of time in my life, struggled with anxiety and fear, and you just feel that you need this injection of hope this morning, you need that rest for your soul that Jesus offers, you'd like for me to speak these scriptures into your context today, won't you just make your way to the front? Don't worry about the person next to you. Just slip past them. And I want to read and pray these amazing verses into your life and into your context. And trust that you'll never be the same again as a result. Thank you, Lord. Just give space to those who are trying to push past you. Thank you. Do not fear. Dear friends, do not anxiously look around you. We all know we're living in dark and difficult days. We're all facing challenges on multiple levels. And it's like a daily battle we face to keep ourselves focused on the right things. But I want to remind you, those in front this morning, I'm speaking these words to you. I want you to receive them as your own today. God is with you. God is your God. God will strengthen you. 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 God will uphold you. Friends, the Bible says there are times we are faithless. And all of us have been there. We lose faith. But God remains faithful to you. For He cannot deny Himself. Here comes a scripture for you. Receive this morning. But now, this is what the Lord Almighty says. He who created you, O Jacob. He who formed you, O Israel. Here it comes. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, not if you pass through the waters, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not blaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And here it comes. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will guard your hearts, guard your minds. In Christ Jesus. So, dear friends, circumstantially, I can promise you nothing has changed. You're leaving this place to face the same world that you faced an hour ago. But I pray you'll be different. You'll be changed. Do not fear, for I am with you. I am your God. I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Father, we have nowhere to go but you. We have no one to turn to but you. In these troubled days, Lord, we declare you are our rock, you are our anchor, you are the firm foundation. Dear friends, as you go your separate ways to lead your families and to do your business, to live your lives, may the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause His beautiful face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May He turn His countenance towards you, and here it comes. May He fill you this morning. And every day going forward with His wonderful and perfect peace. For we pray these things in the name of the great Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ our Lord, the ruler of the rulers of the nations. It's in His great name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. What a joy to pray for you this morning. Shalom. Peace. And may the peace of God go with you. Amen.
rest alone, my hope is found.